Very good session yesterday. The emphasis for us was right back to our competition, the first and second down plan, going against one another. Was really pleased with that in terms of the mindset to get our football right. That was kind of the message I told you yesterday, and certainly carried through. Today, a huge emphasis for the ball. That is absolutely the philosophy of our program. It's all about the ball. And then our third down, that's where the focus will lie today, along with 2 minutes. We're looking for that speed and energy out on the field today. And that'll open up. We had one player who injured yesterday, won't be available for the game, is James Stone. Other than that, everybody will be participating to some spot.
So you get Chester and Warlow back?
Yes, yeah, they'll participate, you know, to a certain degree today, maybe half, maybe more, so they'll be limited, but they'll definitely be participating today.
Yeah, I was looking at Jacksonville's sack stats this morning. They've given up 39 or so. Is this an opportunity for your pass rush to get rolling there?
The main thing is that when you talk about affecting the quarterback and can you move this guy, get off the spot, that is something we're going to work at really hard. And it hasn't been, from the sack standpoint, because that's where the forced fumble comes and the, you know, TFLs, and especially on third down, that's such a good way to get your stop. So when your third down numbers are lower than you want to be, you got to look at how you keep affecting the quarterback. So the ops are there for us, and we've got to go capitalize on it. And it really just comes down to our technique and how we want to play. It's not, you know, one particular scheme or one technique. It's all four of those rushers working in concert, and that's what we've got to get done.
I know you've talked about finishing throughout.
Yep.
But last week the start was so slow.
Yes.
Have you kind of flipped them on to you know, coming out of the gate with some authority this week?
Yeah, I think the anomaly that happened was rough in a lot of senses. And as we're going through it, there's certain things that we even tweaked, you know, to add into some of our practice yesterday and today for some emphasis, whether it been red zone or additional third down work. So that was part of the process that we went through. Although they're not changes, they're changes within how we're practicing and preparing to get ourselves right and ready to play our best ball.
Dan, when you talk about emphasis toward the ball,
yep.
What does that mean? Going after it, getting it?
It's really on both sides, Matt. And for the first one, defensively, the ball hawking mindset. And it's our attitude, not the first guy, but the second who's there to finish on it, the rip, the strip, the batted ball that you go to get. It's the awareness and mindfulness, like, I'm absolutely digging for this ball when the opportunities are there. And then offensively, it's just holding it in such regard. And it's the receivers, the running backs, the tight ends, high and tight with the ball, or a catcher in transition. You know, before I'm looking upfield, I'm putting it away. So it's really a whole team mindset, you know, in terms of the football. So it's just got to be at the front of our thinking. And for us to be in the minus from a turnover margin, it's not just one side. And that's what the real message is for me about the football. And we haven't lived to this point yet, and we're not backing off that, and got another opportunity to go do it.
I can't remember from the injury report yesterday what Stone's injury was.
Knee.
Going back to the draft and also starting the season, it seems that one of your basic tenets is identifying what players' strengths are,
yep.
Then tailoring your scheme and play calling
right
around that. As you analyze your offense at this point, has there been a change through the season? Have you seen that a drop-off in utilizing those strengths?
I don't know if it's the drop-off, but not capitalize on some of the opportunities that are there for us. So we know we've got some unique guys, and Devontae, I think, to me, is at the front of that list in terms of him getting going in the run game and the pass game. He sets a lot of stuff off for us, and so we know that's a factor for us. We're going to see some eight-man fronts, and our line of scrimmage has got to come alive on both sides. But he's a catalyst for us. He's a spark for sure that gives everybody on our team that energy, and he's going to be a factor in this game for sure. As far as that, then in the pass game, you know, keepers, the play action that goes with the run game, that's all tied together. So that's what we have to get done as an entire group, the play action, the run game that goes with it, because we know we can run the wide zone. We've got the people to do it, and then the play actions that come off with it.
Dan, how can you improve the efficiency of the downfield passing game? It hasn't been a strong suit recently.
For sure. I think the play action is the biggest part of that, Matt, because when you have the opportunity to get, you know, people to step up, you know, in line, then now some of the shots come behind the zone defender. So that's really where it's at. When your run game is really rocking, that's where some of the play action game comes alive. And so we know those two things balance one another out. And when you get out of whack on one side or another where you can't run it and people are able to step up, or you can't throw it because if you can't run it, then they're not stepping up, that's where that concert comes together. So I think that's the biggest thing. That balance that I talk about in the run game, it's such a factor. Because as a linebacker or a safety or a secondary player, I don't know if I can step up here. They may throw it over, and then here comes the run. Or when I step up on the run, you know, those two things work together. So that's why that balance is such a factor, and why the system, you know, is at its best when we have that kind of balance.
If the run game's not working, but the game is close, in other words, you're not falling behind by
digits for sure,
or something like that, how important is it to keep trying the run?
It is, because we have enough confidence to know, like, okay, we've got a package in the run game that we know is effective. So sometimes it might be a 3-yard run, and then a 4-yard run, and a 1-yard run, and then there's a 12-yard run, and a, so it takes that one to get it. And oftentimes, one gap at a time, then you make your cut, and then you go. And so we just won't back off, and we can't. And I agree, sometimes the score of the game does dictate that, but we got to have our balance.
Dan, is it frustrating we're at week 13 or so, and you're still talking about small things, mental breakdowns for you?
Probably the biggest thing is for me is the ball. And it's just at the front of the list. It's at the top of the pile. And the ball hawking mentality, the aggressiveness, the style and attitude, I know we can improve upon that. And it comes with reps. I do know that too. The more comfort you have in the defense, the more you understand your technique. Now I can, okay, I know that technique, and I'm going to get the ball on my second shot. And then offensively, just that mindfulness for everybody on point as a runner, as a catcher, in transition, holding on to it, great decisions for everybody. That part, we've got to live that, and that's both sides.
How do you I was looking at their defensive stats, too. They've got, like, everybody with four, no real one person. Bring the cornerback. I think the cornerback's got four. How do you prepare for them attacking you from different places in the pass defense?
From the sack standpoint?
Pass protection standpoint.
Sure. The biggest challenge usually comes, like most teams, in your nickel package. And I think that's where the variety comes with them and Gus. And the package, overloads, man-to-man's a zone, so they've got a good package with that. And I think that's the balance of when people are working together. You got two, you got four. Usually that's when it really comes in connection.
They got to identify.
Yeah, identify who the players are and make the calls. And that's a big part of what yesterday and today is, and making sure our protections are on point. And I've been really pleased with the mindset, the attitude, going into it so far.
Dan, if you throw the record out, are you satisfied with the effort this team has given?
I'm satisfied to a degree, because the effort and the standard I have and want to set for, it's been there at times, but it's not where it has to be consistently to play championship ball. So I don't think you can set the record aside and expect that the effort is exactly like you want it. And until that's the case and it's all the time on point, it's one of the core beliefs that we're just not backing off. That special effort, that energy that a team can bring, I think we've all seen it. We've felt it. We know what it looks like. We've had it at times, and we've not had it at times. And that's the challenge. Can you be so strong mentally that it's there for you exactly when you need it, which is, all the critical situations that come up in the ballgame?
When you have a new coordinator on offense, you can expect a transition period. Those first five games, you're averaging over 32 points. Does that provide a false read of what can be expected in terms of an offense and players adjusting to a new scheme?
I think for sure that's I'm going to kind of go both ways. I think the turnover margin is a real factor in this discussion as well, when we're having our production like we want. When that's on point, usually you're finishing a bunch of drives. So I don't know if we have 20-some turnovers on the year and not as many as we need created. So those are some drives that didn't end with a field goal, with a touchdown. You follow me on that? And then how many more opportunities and drives can we create from a ball hawking mindset? So I think that's a real factor. And is there stuff for us to improve at offensively? Hell yeah, there is. Is there stuff for us to improve at defensively? You bet. And when there's some scheme change, but no excuses here, fellas. Let's make sure we're right on point in terms of the style and attitude we want to play like. So I want to be really clear about that as well. Let's make sure our style and attitude match exactly how we want to play. And it does start with the mindset to attack both sides of the ball.
Dan, do you think the offense benefited in the first quarter of the season from the fact that it is new? It is a new scheme with new personnel. But as tape got out there, what the Falcons were trying to do?
Yeah, I understand the theory on that for sure. I don't think our scheme is that different, around the league. People, it's not like we haven't studied it or, run certain plays and concepts as we go. I honestly feel like it's us, our mindset for the football. And are there things for us to do better? But, yeah, there is no doubt. But I honestly think for us attacking the ball, defense, and then going after it offensively, that has to be – that's at the top of the list for me. And until that part of our football is exactly right, it's going to be hard for us to get as good as we can get.
Coach Shane Graham, he's come here, you know, a tough family situation with his dad.
No doubt.
But how are you all getting him acclimated and came in and looked comfortable?
He did, and I think it really shows what a pro he is, led for Shane. The mindset to come in and want to help and be a part of it, and he's absolutely one of the guys. And, you know, for him, like, nailed a 55-yarder at practice yesterday, those are the things that you start building that trust, you know, right off the bat, because you see it in practice, see him doing it. So, yeah, he's built a good connection with those guys, especially the snapper and the holder, through the reps already for a couple weeks.
What's the limit? I saw him hitting from 58 at the dome
a couple weeks ago. Right now we're, you know, probably into that neighborhood, you know, from 35, 37. I think it was at the end of the game. You know, you could probably push it a little more than that. He nailed one yesterday, you know, for sure, with room. He's got a strong leg. He looks fresh. So he's been, you know, exactly as we'd hoped he would. It was a tough situation to come in with Matt being banged up, who's rock solid as you get as a kicker, as a guy, and he's filled in terrifically.
Sure. The bottom of the roster question, but
sure.
you shuffled the deck a little bit this week with you know, the practice squad guys. I know Mock from Nevada.
Yep.
He's a speed guy that's been around. RJ Harris is a receiver from New Hampshire.
Yeah, who had terrific production, you know, coming out from New Hampshire. So we wanted to get a chance to see, you know, some of the unique things of a guy. And then when we get to practice, we wanted to feel Mock speed. And we saw Curtis Grant and, you know, had a chance to see him at Ohio State. Okay, what unique stuff does he have? So I think this is the time to look at a player and say, okay, is there unique things that he may have as part of a future in that role? And then past that, they know, you know, the central theme of this program is competition, and that's what I'm looking for those guys. There's a number of the guys on the practice squad who are developing like crazy, and so I can't wait, you know, the improvement that some of those guys have made. So can we do that with these men? And that's the challenge, and that's what we're going to find out.
Is Tyler Starr one of those guys?
He absolutely is. Yeah. He's had a big-time year in terms of development, the strength, the speed, the football knowledge that's going on with it. He's absolutely had the mindset. It's really in a difficult spot mentally sometimes when you're on the practice squad or let's call it like a backup player who's inactive all year, because you have to continue to get ready, and we treat our practice squad just like they're part of our regular roster. So we – the same demands, the same mindset. So when we do bring them up, there really isn't, hey, you've got to play different now. He's absolutely one of the guys that has totally shined in this role in terms of learning it, the understanding, the knowledge, and I'm very excited for where he's headed.
And Mapunga, you lost him to the Giants. Was he coming along, or y'all have the discussion on whether to move him up? Or
we did have that one as we're going through, and so we're happy for him to, you know, get his op. And yeah, it was another one that, you know, put a lot of work in. It's totally a challenging one. In some ways, you know, all the way back from the Coach Walsh days of, you know, the backup quarterback is a challenging one because you're all invested, all in. You don't get to play, and you got to do it again. And in some regards, there's some of that that goes on in the practice squad because we're counting on you to know the details, know the assignment, keep working and developing your skills, but yet you don't get some of the reward for the game day. And it takes a lot of grit to keep developing, keep pushing. And fortunately for us, the development plan has been significant with the coaches, with the training staff, to keep pushing these guys, knowing, okay, they're coming. Yeah.